Materialism is not just a consumer-oriented thing. It is something that the Bible has made.
Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
It comes from the world. Now, the world is not as much a place as it is a methodology. In First John chapter 5, the Word of God says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world. Now, the world is a methodology. It's a way of thinking. The materialistic way of thinking comes from the evil one. Well, let's move earlier in Scripture to the book of Beginnings, and we can see the subtle serpent comes into the garden and speaks to the woman, and ultimately the man. God has created in his own image and likeness. Oh, you didn't get that. He creates him in the same image, but not only the same image, he creates them in the same likeness. In other words, they don't only look like God, they are like God. And this subtle being begins to have a conversation with the woman, who at the moment the conversation begins, lives in the glory of the Lord. Looks like God, acts like God. Has no other way or no any other way of acting. And the first thing this soon-to-be slithering creature does is brings her attention to one tree in the entire garden. Now, this garden is not a little garden in somebody's backyard. The belief is that this garden probably spanned from current day Iraq all the way to northern Africa. That may not mean anything to you if you don't know what a map is or seen a globe, but that's a lot of territory. How many trees must there be in a territory this large, and they have access to all of those trees? But the one tree in the center of the garden, he brings her attention to. Now listen, this thing in the center of the garden is not a spiritual, it is not an intangible, it is not an ethereal thing, it is a physical thing. And he takes her attention, even though she walks with God and talks with God and lives in his glory, he brings her attention to a physical thing. And he says to her, has God said, you shall not eat from this tree? Then it goes on even deeper in the conversation. And he says, God knows the day you eat of this tree, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. God knows the day you're going to be like him. How can somebody who's already like God be bamboozled into believing that if they do something, they'll be like the person they already like? He got her focus from the spiritual God, for the Bible says in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. Takes this spirit being who lives in a physical body, in a three-dimensional physical earth, and takes her attention from the spiritual and gets her to focus on the material and says, this will do it for you. And the Bible says, and the woman looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food, that it had the ability to make one wise. She looked. Now she's focused, trying to feel what only God can fill with a physical thing. In other words, listen, this is what the serpent does. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is what the serpent does. You can't be happy. Oh, I know you have the Creator living on the inside of you. I know you walk and talk with the Creator every day, but you can't trust the Creator. The Creator is not enough for you. He's the self-sufficient. In other words, he doesn't need anybody else to be God. He doesn't need anyone to live. He has no source. He is the source. But he is not enough. You need this thing. And once you get this thing, you will be satisfied. You will be fulfilled. Now, before you start dismissing the folly of Eve and Adam, my assignment tonight is to prove to you that we have more in common with the two of them than their state before the fall. Once Eve ate of that fruit, once she made this material thing the focus of her life, materialism entered the earth. And it was the design of the evil one who controls the entire world system. Where were you when you heard the gospel? You were in the world. So the Bible says that when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Instantaneously, we went from being darkened in our spirits to now being light in our spirits, but something did not change. And what did not change was our thinking. So although El Elyon lives in me, although the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords now sits on the throne of my heart, although the El Shaddai, El meaning God, Shaddai literally meaning multi-breasted, more than enough, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, he is the God who is more than enough. And even though I got the El Shaddai, now, wait a second. Listen to this. The Bible does not say that God has, in these latter times, revealed to us a mystery that is some of Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, the revelation is not most of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? What does that mean? It literally means that God lives. No. Not part of God lives on the inside of you. God himself lives in the temple of your heart. Well, if God can live in Jeremiah, and he does, how big must Jeremiah's spirit be? If all of God can fit in him, then his capacity to be filled is one that can only be completely filled with God himself. So the Bible says, and on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, baptized with fire. Now, filled means no more room. Wait. God is the creator of all things. That means that whatever God created, he has to be bigger than. That means that Jeremiah or chastity is so big on the inside. It's not about the outside. But so big on the inside that only God in his fullness can fill her. That means that if God was to pour the universe inside of her, it couldn't fill her. If God was to take all of the world and all of its wealth and all of its power and pour it into her, it wouldn't fill her. Why? Because only God is big enough. How big must the human spirit be? One day Jesus is talking to a man in the tombs before he cast the devil out. He says, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A Roman legion is approximately 1,000 to 1,200 troops. So there are about 1,000 demons working inside one man. And he doesn't explode. How big must a human spirit be? Well, too big to be filled with shoes. Too big to be filled with cars. Too big to be filled with houses. Too big to be filled with money. Too big to be filled with promotion. Too big to be filled with material things. There is nothing material that will ever fulfill a human spirit. Every man, every woman craves for the fullness of God. I feel the Holy Ghost of God in this place. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. The moment that Eve and Adam eat of this fruit, instead of being filled with God, they are filled with a longing. Every son, every daughter that comes through their blood is born with a longing. Every one of us has a need for a God. Every human being must submit himself to a Godhead. Every human being must have a God. Every human being, if the human being selects himself to be God, his own source, his own provider, his own deliverer, then he becomes his own God. Every culture, of every people, of every group, of every tongue, in this world and the worlds that are beyond this world, born with a longing for a Godhead. But now, here is the problem. There's only one God who qualifies. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. Any other God, no matter how much that thing is worshipped, no matter how much that thing is called upon, invocated, no matter how many times it's a person goes to worship at the place of this other God, this God can never, shall never fill the longing that is in the human heart. So in due time, Christ dies to reintroduce Angroboshi, to reintroduce us to the only being qualified in the entire universe to fill us. And the moment that we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we are filled with him. But our minds still have the ability to focus on the natural. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. I got a little while to go. Is that okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your spirit. The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not things that are on earth. You don't need to change the focus of your spirit if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you need to change the focus of your spirit. You're going to need that because you're on your way to hell. I don't care how good you feel you are, how great you think you may be, or how many times you were baptized as a baby. If you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life and you should die, sadly, in that condition, you will be ushered by the angels into hell. Now, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, physical evidence of speaking in tongues, yet there's something I've got to do with my mind. Because if I keep my mind set on earth and on the material things of the earth, God knows that my old habit of materialism is not about buying and selling. Materialism is a spiritual state. Materialism is a state of mind. Materialism is not just a consumer-oriented thing. It is something that the Bible has a name for. Are you ready? Idolatry. Well, what is an idol? An idol is anything that a person goes to and sees as their source, listen, their source of provision, their source of well-being, their source of protection, their source of security, and their source, listen, of value. It's the thing that when a person feels empty, they go to satisfy the longing on the inside. Now, because we are 21st century dwellers, we generally, there are many cultures in the world, but I'm talking to the church at 1100 El Camino Real. We don't bow down to graven images. We don't. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse, I think it's verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. You shall have no other gods before me. Next verse. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, on earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Next. You shall not worship them. You shall not worship them. You shall not worship them or serve them. You shall not worship them or work for them. You shall not worship them, put value, spiritual value on them, nor shall you work for them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God says, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not have any idol or anything. In other words, listen carefully. There is no such thing as God being at the same level. God being, we look to God and we look to other things. That's not possible because the requirement is that if he is our God, then he comes first. And we ought to look to him first and foremost for everything. All right, now I'm going to bring this on home. Go back to Luke. So now, greed, covetousness, is an attempt to fill a spiritual longing, a spiritual need, with something that is material. Jesus says, beware and be on your guard against every form of spiritual substitution with physical things. For not even when you have a lot of physical things, your life, this word life is the word Zoe. God is talking about the life he is. Because the life he is the life that he has imparted to every human being. Even when it talks about the life of unbelievers, it's still Zoe. They may not be born again, but they are created by the same God. For not even when one has an abundance does his Zoe. This means the highest form of life, the intended life that God wanted all human beings to enjoy. All human beings to live within the confines thereof. He says this kind of life cannot be filled with things. He says that for not even when a man has an abundance does his life consist. This word consist is the Greek word eime, E-I-M-I, eime. And this word I may, literally translated, would be the word am. It is the Greek word for the verb to be. It's not about consisting, it's about being. It's about existing. When the Jews are speaking to Jesus tells them, before Abraham was, ego I may. I am. I exist. It's not proper English, but I be. Literally, what Jesus is saying is your being cannot exist on having things. Amen, amen. I know that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know that. Yet, as we begin the holiday season here in the United States, somebody in here, I know somebody in here, already has spent more than they have to spend. Because they don't have much to spend, but they do have a credit card. And they need some things under the tree or in the stocking. These are the people who can never seem to save, can never seem to budget, can never do those things. They go out, I'm only going to spend $100. They spend $1,000. I'm only going to spend $1,000. They spend $5,000. They know the word of God requires savings. They know it. They go to the seed of Abraham. They've been taught. Yet, they cannot. No. It's not that they do not. It is that they cannot walk in a store. Not because they're not saved, not because they're not born again, not because they're not filled with the God who is more than enough, but in their thinking, the God who is Abu Korasai, more than enough, is still not enough. So I know I got Jesus. But every woman, person comes across, almost every woman they're attracted to, save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost. A woman in person or on the internet, the image of a woman in a magazine, cannot. I'm trying, Pastor, but I cannot. I already know that my spouse has told me that my spending is putting pressure on our marriage. But when they're not home or when they're not around, I cannot stop buying. There was laughter some moments ago. Some side conversations going on moments ago. Oh, I got your attention now? Okay. We got your attention now. No matter how many relationships she is in, she cannot be satisfied. Like the woman at the well, she is seeking for the things that cannot satisfy. She got 6 husbands, 700. She beat the woman at the well. Oh, listen. A husband is not somebody you go to the altar to marry. A husband is someone you have sex with. That's a husband. I said, that's a husband. There were no wedding ceremonies. Just read the book of Genesis. There were no ceremonies. They went in the tent, came together, they were married. She had 5 husbands. We live in a day where folk got 5 husbands in a week, 5 husbands per month, 5 wives per week, per month. Jesus said, if any man looks on a woman to lust after her, he has committed. I don't have no idols. Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Wait a second. You got King Jesus, yet still, I'm going to wait till the midnight hour. It's when my love starts tumbling down. Ah, you're laughing. But isn't it when nobody's around? Isn't it when it's dark? Isn't it in the midnight hour when nobody's around? You say you're fulfilled. You say you're happy. You testify of the 6-figure job. You testify of the house and the home. Yet with all of those things, the lovely bride, the lovely children, with all of those things, they are not enough. Why? Because even having those things cannot fulfill and fill you up. Somehow we have looked and despised the Holy One of Israel. The word despise does not mean to hate. The word despise means to lightly esteem.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend. And I look forward to hearing from you. So write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing. Keep on walking.